Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio, number 431. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is happening, good sir?
Nothing too much, Kevin. Got done watching this SmackDown show as we are in full swing of Survivor Series season.
Yes, we are. And it always brings about that weird time of the year where some people on the brand set aside their feuds for a greater cause that really is not dwelled upon outside of the 4 weeks or so that there is build for Survivor Series these days.
Right, yeah, it would really help if throughout the year they made mention of each other and, you know, took digs at each other. We really don't have that anymore, especially since Stephanie's gone and the palpable tension between Stephanie and Shane is no longer there. Every authority figure has been a baby face. It would mean more if the idea of it being an actual competition was brought up more than it does.
It would help out because I know they mentioned it, although they undermined it the next day, but I don't feel like they mentioned Raw even being the winner for Finn Balor over AJ Styles at TLC. You know, they just made it more of a special attraction match, not a brand versus brand match.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
Shane did his best to make sense of everything, of putting it all together tonight, which was a good attempt, and you know, I mean, at least they're doing that. But yeah, it didn't feel like it felt like SmackDown was doing Raw a favor, which if there's all this competition, they wouldn't do that.
Oh, right. You know, it's just really every year it's an odd thing, and it's probably going to continue to be an odd thing, but you would think that there would at least be some better ways to kind of address this this hate. I mean, I guess in a lot of ways I like the beatdown angle just because it was something different.
It was done well, it was shot well, everything about it was... it was different. I just didn't like the really, really good guy, good girl, baby faces taking part. Like New Day, like Becky Lynch, like Nakamura, who's done nothing, who's been nothing but, you know, fight honorably since he came to SmackDown. That part I didn't like, and I didn't. And there's not too many blood feuds going on SmackDown right now to say unequivocally these people shouldn't even be able to put aside their differences to do this, but still, you know, baby faces and heels joining together, you know, beating everybody up, jumping everybody, you know, from behind or unexpectedly. If you just taken some time to have people on the Raw side make snide remarks about their SmackDown counterparts, it would be much more logical that things have, you know, reached this boiling point to, you know, that SmackDown's just ready to just tear shit up.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. You know, there isn't always that much interaction between, you know, I guess professional teams if they're in different divisions. And that's kind of the way Raw and SmackDown are, but it's not like they aren't aware of people on the other side.
Right.
Or don't say anything on, you know, let's say social media about the other people. But it's kind of funny that they devote so much time to, you know, whichever brand that they're on, that they don't do little things like that. You know, I mean, they can even just take the digs on Twitter and bring those up on the main shows.
Right, yeah, yeah. It just felt very out of nowhere. And, you know, out of character for many members on the SmackDown roster. Once again, I think that tonight they did a good job of explaining it, that it was, you know, on orders from Shane McMahon. You know, absolutely, Shane ordered this. So I guess if you can maybe eventually down the line do a Shane McMahon deal, and Shane did it on his own, Daniel Bryan didn't condone it. So if you ever want to do a Shane McMahon heel turn down the line, you can use this as a starting point. So that I like.
Yeah, they put the pieces together as best they could tonight. But yeah, there's always still some stuff that's really strange about these types of or this time of the year, this Survivor Series. But I guess I do kind of like, and it's kind of a side part, have they been really doing this champion versus champion kind of situation? Or is it just me thinking that they haven't really done that much at Survivor Series?
They've never done it, not even during the first brand split. No, they've never done it like that. No, so no, that's, you know, it's definitely a good wrinkle to put in it. Although a number of the matches are, you know, quite obviously Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal. We'll get into that. But you know, it's, you know, as it stands right now, Natalya versus Alexa Bliss and The Miz versus Baron Corbin. Heel versus heel matches, unless, you know, one or both of those titles change, which I think there's definitely certainly some chance of, or, you know, one to two of those four titles change hands, maybe.
Yeah, I would. It would be, well,
I could definitely see Charlotte ending up with the women's championship before Survivor Series if they want to go there.
Oh. Yeah, and who was I thinking on the men's side there? Miz and Sin Cara. That's who I was thinking, which is it would be an easy win for Raw. I mean, holy shit, I would hope that. Because I don't see The Miz losing his title. Like, Baron Corbin is the guy in that equation, and they've already kind of thrown it out there that he's losing his cool with Sin Cara.
Yeah.
And they can always do the bum stipulation. If he gets himself DQ'd, he loses his belt anyway. If they wanted to in the meantime.
Right. Yeah, they could do something like that, but I don't know if I foresee that. Maybe Miz loses the Intercontinental title beforehand. It's possible, I guess. But I'm not sure about the star power of this Raw team, especially with Rollins and Ambrose in the battle of the tag team champions. I guess Roman Reigns will be back by then.
Yeah, it's seeming like he's supposed to be back at that time.
I assume he'll end up in something of a captain's position, maybe Finn Balor on the team, maybe Bray Wyatt, two others.
They have time to determine that, to see,
right, yeah.
See how healthy these people are.
I was kind of expecting the SmackDown team to end up just being like Owens and Zayn and Orton and Nakamura and Styles. Just, you know, run down the list according to star power on SmackDown. But obviously that's not happening.
Yeah, and I think we can get to, well, I don't know if I want to address that yet or not. But, yeah, because what else is there to go? I feel like there was some other there was some other stuff to mine with the topics we were running over. I guess and it was the first one that you were talking about, actually, was Charlotte beating Natalia in the meantime.
Yeah.
That was, I guess, something I hadn't really thought about. 'Cause the heel thing, never works quite as well as the face-face thing.
Yeah.
At least the face-face thing, you can kind of build up a rivalry, even like they did with Styles and Balor at TLC, is easy enough to manufacture, but the heel-heel thing is always a weird situation, which I guess is any reason to put your eyes on. Like you said, actually, even The Miz or Corbin. Because, I mean, it's another heel-heel matchup, both of those currently. And that makes for an odd match.
In the case of Corbin and Miz, there's nothing about that match that makes me think that they're going to mesh well. They would mesh well at all.
Yeah, that thing just has train wreck written all over it if it ends up happening.
Yeah, so I think that they're gonna have some twists and turns on the Road to Survivor Series. Other than the fact said, you know, well, we'll stick with the title situations here. You know, be interesting to see that. I mean, as of right now, I guess the only match that looks good is Rollins and Ambrose against the Usos.
Oh.
That has the potential to be excellent. The other three champion versus champion matches as they stand right now, not so much.
I suppose I could see a good match out of Alexa and Natalia.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm not sure that they've crossed paths, but yeah, I'm at least not expecting to enjoy that as much as the Usos against 2/3 of the Shield.
Yeah, that should be really good. Taking an interesting tact, to say the least, to build up Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal by not building up Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, this Jinder Mahal thing, as it keeps going, I just keep on thinking of how improbable this title reign is.
Yeah, it really is that, and I don't think that title's changing beforehand. Maybe they'd work AJ Styles in there on like 2 week, 2 or 3 weeks. Well, they've already advertised, you know, two matches now next week. But maybe they'd work AJ Styles into a match with Brock Lesnar on about 2 weeks' notice. But I don't think that's where they're going to go. I think that they're committed to this.
Yeah. And I think that's that's why maybe the word improbable isn't a good one, because it's definitely
a match between Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal headlining one of the big four pay-per-views. That is a year ago. That is improbable.
Yeah, it's just. Like, it's one of those things that it's just like, oh my god, this is just so, does not feel like it's on merit.
It's not. It absolutely is not at all.
You know, because, and I guess that's what, it's like one of those things where, and Mahal, like, uses that, oh, I was nothing and I built myself into greatness. And it's just like, dude, like, no. Like, I'm not enjoying your promos. Your matches are average at best. Like, there's nothing about this title reign that's really getting it on for me. And still the fact that there's a possibility that Brock Lesnar can lose to him is absolutely ludicrous.
I don't know if you can bury a guy and have him get beat too. I mean, you can, and it's again, they've built up Brock Lesnar so much. They've got so much invested in him. You gotta have the most clusterfuck finish in the of all time to justify, you know, his being pinned by Jinder Mahal. You gotta run in everything, you know, and everyone. The Singh brothers just aren't gonna cut it. Although, probably the most fun part of the match is gonna watch them going up for those suplexes.
Oh.
Brock might be pitching them into about the 15th row.
Yeah, I just already feel bad for them. I feel bad for their backs. I feel bad for their necks. They're just really small. I mean, AJ Styles is certainly not the largest man, and he was getting close to dwarfing one of the Singh brothers, whichever one, whether it was Sunil that he wrestled tonight.
You don't see AJ Styles that physically dominant over his opponents very often, but man, was he just throwing, well, both of them around, really.
So if AJ Styles can physically overmatch someone like that, it's completely crazy what it'd look like with Brock Lesnar tossing those two around.
Heyman even said it, you know, the old adage of build up your opponent, you know,
He's right. I mean, if you do listen to his promos, it's not about ever putting Brock Lesnar's opponent down. Like, he is always talking his opponent up. And even by insulting him this time around, he was still kind of talking him up a little bit.
I didn't see him talking to him up at all, and then for Jinder Mahal to have to come out and on a 24 hours delay, retort Paul Heyman. You just can't take this guy seriously. You can barely take him seriously as, you know, any type of a champion. But then take him seriously as an opponent for Brock Lesnar in a main event of Survivor Series. It's just like, this just isn't working. It hasn't been working. It hasn't been working from day one. Maybe it was worth a shot.
Well,
once we got past SummerSlam and the first win over Nakamura, it was just like, okay, it's time to end this.
I guess I at least thought at that point, I'm like, oh yeah, Nakamura's winning this next time out then.
Yeah.
And then when he didn't, I guess to me, that's when it was completely official. It's just like, oof, okay, this is really, guys, this has ceased to be funny. Like, I was willing to give this a shot.
If Jinder Mahal ends Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, I'm going to find it very funny.
Oh my god. Yeah, I will just sit back and watch wrestling Twitter burn if that happens. That's why, I mean, honestly, I was completely amused tonight. Like, I was glad that they hyped up Raw retaliating for all of SmackDown tonight. And I also kind of like, you know, don't just half-ass it or something and come out the night after just because. You know, kind of leave it hanging over their heads. And, you know, kind of plan it and do it the right way. I guess if you want to strike back.
Right, yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, a lot of people were... yeah, I mean, I guess I was still expecting it to happen. I was expecting Raw to do something in response tonight, but I was glad that they did decide to go that route. Like, but I just with wrestling, I just kind of expect a response to happen the next night, and when it didn't, it's, you know, it's at least a little surprising. Happy for it, but surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you make people wait for it. I think that's a good call. You know, maybe waiting all the way to the go home show, because it is the go home show.
Oh.
You know, and you know, do it then. It might be the best way to do it. But yeah, no. There's going to be retaliation at some point. Obviously tonight, after, you know, last night, you know, as Shane said, it was totally premeditated.
Yeah. Oh.
So,
right.
Raw needs to regroup. Everyone still had their return plans home after last night, right? So, everyone still had their flights.
Yeah.
So, you gotta... So, yeah, the Raw side definitely needs to regroup. They need to put their five-man squadron together. They need to finish putting together their women's team, because there's more women on Raw than SmackDown, and there's still, you know, a couple, you know, kind of hanging out there who may or may not make the team.
Yeah, I kind of hope, speaking of the women of Raw, and going off at least the Survivor Series part for a moment, I hope she's not on the Survivor Series team, but Asuka, that has been one of the bigger train wrecks as far as a debut goes, in my opinion. After, you know, continuing her NXT hype, as far as building her up, went on WWE TV, having her somewhat narrowly pull out victories against Emma was not exactly what I had imagined when Emma became the opponent.
I thought the match at TLC was fine. I think Emma got an appropriate defense, but in the end, Asuka totally overwhelmed her. On Raw, it was a different story. Asuka didn't look as crisp. Emma didn't look as crisp. Emma took way too much of the match, and it came off like Asuka got a fluke win. The Raw match was really the problem. That was that. That did not accomplish any objectives, especially in front of the larger audience.
Well, and it was really strange too, to me, since I always get fascinated with the announcing that's going along with it. Corey Graves says before the match, "Oh, Asuka learns from her mistakes." And it was just like, "Oh, okay, good. This match is going to be shorter." Because I kind of figured that he was sending out that signal, and then when it became a legit match again, I'm like, "The fuck is going on here?" So yeah, I guess you're right. It was more the Raw match that was the problem, as opposed to the pay-per-view match itself.
Yeah, they just, despite that they've wrestled each other a bunch of times in NXT and had perfectly fine match the night before, they were just not on the same page on Monday, and it was probably the worst loss. It was easily the worst Asuka has ever looked. It really was just a bad match, and in front of a dead crowd, and well, that's not necessarily always the wrestler's fault, that the crowd just didn't come, just didn't bring the energy throughout the night.
Yeah.
But they still didn't give them any real sink their teeth into either. Yeah, it wasn't a good debut in front of the 3-4 million, whatever the heck, whatever they want to see, how many people they want to see watch Raw. It was not an effective debut for us. But I'm gonna disagree with you. I hope she is on the Survivor Series team, and I hope she ends up the sole survivor.
Oh, that could end up working out quite well if she did that. So yeah, I will already rescind my plan.
And going back to something I said before earlier, I think Charlotte winning the women's championship from Natalya would be a good thing, because then you keep Charlotte and Asuka away from each other completely this early in Asuka's run.
Yeah, that would make some sense too. I think it's pretty clear that Charlotte and Alexa seem to be a bit above the rest of the crowd in the women's division.
Right, but you could really, you could. That's saying you couldn't, build, Asuka versus, because remember, as far as Asuka against, I know she kind of, ran over Alexa Bliss. I believe that happened before Alexa Bliss went up. I believe that happened, and of course
Okay.
we know Asuka's beaten Bayley decisively twice, but she's never faced any of the other three horsewomen.
Oh.
Her and Sasha would be on the same team, so and then so that would cancel itself out. You wouldn't be maybe giving away much between her and Becky, but Charlotte versus Asuka, that could be a big match down the line.
That could certainly be a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. I mean, not even this year, but it could be, yes.
Well, I hope it wouldn't be this year, because it would have had to taken place a few months ago,
Next year, I mean, might have to debate
but
that. I have to simple. You knew what I meant.
because the women, who the fuck? Why did I lose my place so badly? But
No, but no, yeah, as I said, I do feel that, Asuka on the
oh.
team, carrying the team to victory, that would be a good way to use her. Otherwise, she's not getting on Survivor Series. Because there's no other, there really no other spot for her. There's already six matches announced. Maybe they'd squeeze in one or two others, but I doubt any of them would be featuring the women. So, no, I think Asuka carrying her team to victory is the way to go there.
Yeah. Oh, and it was the bad WrestleMania joke. So, and I'm trying to think of what Yeah, it would make sense too why Charlotte was not involved in the beatdown, but Natalia was, if she's going to be on Team SmackDown. You know, usually the people taking place in any invasion type angle are usually involved in matches thereafter. Especially ones that involve the brands. So, if there's little an Easter egg there in that department, that could be another sign that Charlotte is going to win the championship prior to Survivor Series happening.
Yeah, it absolutely could be, or it could just be that, you know, Charlotte had, you know, some other commitment and it just couldn't be there on Raw. But yeah. See, Charlotte still carries her heelish attitude with her, even though she's a babyface.
Oh.
So she's actually a character I wouldn't have actually minded being part of the beatdowns. Unlike, say, Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah, because
Charlotte Lee hasn't changed.
Yeah, they act friendly, but Charlotte is always the one to snipe first still. And Lynch doesn't leave herself defenseless by any means, so I don't think that there's any real problem. But if there's a beef ever stated, it always starts from the Charlotte's end rather than okay. Becky's end. So, yeah, agreeing with your point.
Right.
So, yeah, Lynch in New Day being in that beatdown was kind of strange, especially since they were, since you had a showdown of women, you couldn't, hide Lynch in the crowd at all. And then, New Day, I mean, you really could have done that whole beatdown without New Day in it, or at least not being a main member. And it was really odd to see.
I'm not sure why the Usos weren't there. You could have easily replaced Usos with a New Day, or New Day with Usos, let's just say.
Well, and especially since they beat up the Shield, and it would have been perfect for the Usos to be doing that. Since
yeah,
they will be facing off with them.
Wait, did they get the Miz in the beatdown?
I think so.
Okay, because they could have done something with him and Corbin. I don't actually remember during the women's part of the beatdown if. Well, that's right. Alexa Bliss was nowhere to be found during the women's part of the beatdown. That I remember pretty clearly.
Correct.
So it's kind of interesting who they had in it, who they didn't have in it. Is there any special meaning to who they didn't have in it, or was it just complete happenstance or what have you.
Okay, so we've talked about the bad match. And I'm trying to think of what else, because I mean, a lot of stuff's tied up in this angle, I guess, that happened on, both of the shows here tonight. And I'm trying to think of what else isn't covered, because the title matches are set up, and we've blown through those, and the Survivor Series matches, are still yet to be determined.
Well, there is one more thing to bring up.
What's that?
Kane.
Ah, hey, yes. This is a good thing to bring up.
Yeah. We're rebuilding and reheating Kane in 2017.
Yeah, especially since and I might I would have to say I'm agreeing with Jeremy in that probably one of the worst things that the WWE did this week, aside from all the illogic with the under siege sieging of Raw, would be giving Finn Balor a signature win at TLC over AJ Styles in an excellent match. And then the very next night, having him lose to Kane.
I will correct you here. Finn Balor didn't beat AJ Styles. The Demon beat AJ Styles. We've established that Finn Balor is a pussy. Although I guess Finn Balor did beat Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, they haven't completely established that.
I guess down the line, after they're done beating Kane to Strowman, they could do Demon versus Kane just to get him that win back before they, if they want to move Finn Balor back, you know, back into any kind of title contention, especially at Universal title match against Brock if they want to go there between now and WrestleMania. But it's still once again, plus even before Finn Balor came out, Kane pretty much single-handedly destroyed Rollins, Ambrose, and Styles all by himself.
So he
dismantled, so Kane, who many different podcasts and YouTube shows and have done their 20th anniversary, have done some sort of 20th anniversary of Kane episode, and pointing out that yes, Kane has been around for over 20 years now. showed up and has returned and is getting a monster push, which I like Kane. But it does feel a little short-sighted to kind of have four of your, you know, main event level guys get destroyed by this old veteran just to build him up for one match against Braun Strowman. Hopefully one match against Braun Strowman. Hopefully they don't go into the series and actually have Kane win the first one.
That very well could happen. I wouldn't be entirely surprised.
They seem to be back in the Kane business. They really.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they drag it out 2 or even, God forbid, 3 months. Or maybe not 3 months, but Survivor Series and then like 2 subsequent Raw pay-per-views. You know, I don't see it lasting any longer than that. Like, if Kane sticks around for, say, as long as Chris Jericho did, I would be quite shocked, to say the least.
No, I'd be... I'm pretty shocked about that too. It seems short-sighted. I'm not so against it, because I know in their minds they're not going with Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar this month coming up, or probably the next month coming up, because there is no Raw pay-per-view in December. And then Raw's not going to have anything on pay-per-view until the Royal Rumble. So in their minds, if Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor is where they're going for say, Rumble, they feel they can rebuild him. They've got still have 3 months to rebuild him for that. So the priority is Strowman versus Lesnar. My concern is, again, it seems very short-sighted. You've got to convince the casual fan that these smaller guys can fight and have a chance against these bigger guys. Especially with Brian the champion. And to have Kane, you know, absolutely just destroy Finn Balor like that, it does create an image that he's just not man enough to compete with the big boys.
Yeah, that was really, to me, one of the bigger parts of that. Oh my gosh, and I am sneezing like crazy right now. Was how much of a beatdown Kane laid on Finn Balor. It wasn't just the fact that the victory happened. If it would have been a longer match, a more drawn out match, I understand a lot of times when they're like, oh, we don't want to give this match away, so they make it shorter than it needs to be. You know, I just feel like a lot of John Cena first matches, a lot of AJ Styles first matches, all end up against kind of some other marquee names, end up being shorter than they are later in the feud. Kane is going to be there a limited amount of time. Like, I don't see him wrestling Finn Balor multiple times. If you're at least going to have Balor lose, have him lose in a well-fought match. And that really was not the case at all.
No, it really wasn't. You got a locker room full of guys. Could have put in that spot.
Yeah, because that was another thing Jeremy and I talked about, was just Titus O'Neil was back there in a suit. You can at least sell him that he's a similar size to Kane.
Yeah, the same thing with Apollo Crews.
Oh, yeah. There were other people in the back that they could have used for that spot other than Finn Balor, which would have accomplished the goals that they were looking at. Without having to, like you said, you essentially end up needing to rebuild Balor then in some respects. So yeah, it's just like, why bother with that part?
If you needed Kane to roll to destroy someone with some name value, Matt, they're obviously doing nothing with Matt Hart.
Oh,
so and he's already played jobber for Braun Strowman, so you might as well have Kane destroy him too.
Yeah, he's a perfect person to have out there too.
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah. Didn't think about him, but another guy that fits the bill that doesn't do damage to another property that you have more value in right now.
Yeah, I get what they want, because it wasn't about Kane scoring a big win. It was about Kane being a monster and destroying someone and just being that vicious and evil. And he could have done that to anybody. He could have chokeslammed anybody three times.
Yeah, that's it. There was a point, especially during the second one, I'm like, oh, Balor's going to do something to get back in this match, because they're surely not going to have him take multiple chokeslams. And it was just like, oh, nope, there's the second one. I'm like, oh yeah, that third one's definitely happening.
Yeah, by the time they got to this, actually the second one was one I wasn't thinking that Balor was going to fight back. It's like, at that point, I knew that's what this wasn't about. But I at least thought Braun Strowman music was going to hit, and then, you know, they were just going to have Braun show up and cause the disqualification and the big brawl right then and there, and not drag out Braun's return from yet another attempted murder.
Yeah, Braun Strowman is pretty good at escaping attempted murder.
He really is.
Honestly, I was telling Jeremy, I was half expecting Braun Strowman to push out of the trash compactor and pop back up and to attack Kane at TLC.
Yeah.
And that would have been I that would have been so awesome. But alas, it did not happen.
No.
So, you know, why did I brain fart again? Good God. This has been a terrible one today. What the fuck were we talking about? Why am I... Usually I can talk myself into remembering what we were on. Oh, Braun Strowman. So, yeah, and sacrificing Finn Balor. Like, so much could have been different, and it wasn't. And it really was probably the worst mistake in wrestling, in WWE writing for the week.
Yeah, it definitely was. There was no need for it to be Finn Balor. They really hurt Finn. And then also hurt the potential Survivor Series team. I assume Finn's going to end up on it because star power standpoint. Once again, when you put Rollins and Ambrose in the tag in the tag title
match, yeah,
you're really hurting yourself for star power, you know, and especially when you're still crossing your fingers that Roman Reigns isn't going to still be the debilitating least ill for some time. It doesn't sound like he will be, but who knows with these things.
Yeah. And how much that'll impact his, you know, what he can do in the ring.
Right.
So, yeah, it's gonna be, kind of weird. So, there was one weird thing, that I did want to talk about. It actually isn't in the WWE. Will Impact Wrestling improve now that Jeff Jarrett is not involved?
They're still going to be running his TV through Bound for Glory, which TV I'm still not watching. I haven't watched with him. I won't watch without him. Unless I get some real, real strong indications from people I respect that this show truly is better. And moving in there. And not just actually better quality-wise. Because there's still so many places you can watch good wrestling nowadays. I mean, I really want to feel like this... They're not just putting on good shows and good matches before I start re-adding to my DVR again. That this show is really feels like it's building to something. That it is on the rise.
It's kind of funny. I decided to watch. My DVR recently decided to erase everything I had set to record.
Oh.
So I've had to reset everything. And it was kind of amusing that the wife decided, oh, Impact Wrestling, I'm not sure if he watches that anymore, and taped it for me this past week. And I've got to admit, at least looks-wise, the production value looks better than it used to. I'm not sure that it's any better. I have listened to, or I watched part of it with sound, and I've watched the other part without. And, yeah, it's definitely not enough to drag me back in at all. Because I don't know, this is ending with a bunch of old MMA fighters around Bobby Lashley. And they're taking up entirely too much of wrestling time
Yeah, they're
for.
doing some weird angle with it's pro wrestling versus MMA, and this coach of the America's Top Team, which you'd have to be really, really, really into the MMA scene to know all the various training centers and dojos or whatever that are out there. So this is a pretty inside. So that's a, and they got their that guy, whatever Dan, whatever the heck his name is. I want to say Gilbert, but I know that's not, but I know that's not right. I'm from Detroit. I know who Dan Gilbert is. But yeah, they got that guy, basically playing pro wrestling match, which I'm sure was a lifelong dream of his. So we're just letting some guy no one's ever heard of play pro wrestling manager on TV for an angle that. Maybe if I watched it would make sense, but you're basically main eventing or semi-main eventing your pay-per-view with a bunch of people who, well, at least two of the people in said match that I've seen, really don't have much in the way of wrestling experience, pro wrestling experience, so.
Yeah, and not everyone picks up professional wrestling like one Kurt Angle, let's say.
Right. I mean, maybe that not get you because maybe they will do worse than WWE. Oh, experience coming in their first matches to wrestle W wrestle wrestle the WWE mainstay. So maybe that's not the issue there, but it's just. It's that feeling that there's nothing to these people. Unless they wanted to spend some of these the free agents or sign people from WWE. As their contracts are coming up. But it's still a pretty toxic, think brand to be part of them. I'm pretty sure Daniel Bryan, unless he gets an incredible offer, has no intention of going to Impact upon his contract with WWE going on. Coming up.
Yeah, you would 100% go to Ring of Honor, and that's the other bad thing is that is oddball as Ring of Honor's been. I keep on forgetting to set it to tape because it tapes on weird time slots.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do that too because I know that there's going to be a number of New Japan centric episodes, coming up. So, or New Japan wrestlers episodes coming up. So I wouldn't mind seeing some of that. So maybe I will bring ROH back into the fold for a while. See how that show is. Because the last time I checked out ROH, they were in the middle of some, some transition, some talent left. Kevin Kelly left, and they brought this new announcer in, who I thought was just kind of was just a just came off very bush league to me. Maybe he's improved.
I mean, it
Ian,
hasn't
whatever.
been that long. It's only been maybe 3 weeks that I haven't watched, but he improved some. Ian Riccaboni. But wow, man. A guy was not ready to be the lead announcer. And then to continue to have his co-hosts rotating, basically, like almost every taping, is not doing him any favors whatsoever. Like
Yeah,
having a consistent partner is one of those things in broadcasting that kind of helps.
they should probably just make sure just keep Cabana in that Colt Cabana in that role, permanently.
Yeah.
From what I've seen and heard about, what's been going on there.
Yeah, like him, those two did announce the most. So they did end up gaining a rapport. So it would really be a benefit to keep him there full time. But that was the other funny thing, is just when they seemed to be getting that together was when Cabana stopped being on the shows and they started rotating in other co-hosts.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But, yeah, there was, that part, and the other part of the, Jeff Jarrett, saga, honestly. He had already asked for some time off from Impact, if I'm not mistaken, and he hadn't come back from it.
He's basically been fired for a couple of months now. And they just officially made the announcement today. Now, of course, along with it, they may have not thought about it through completely, that they were going to lose the Global Force branding that they spent so much time and effort, transitioning the show to. But yeah, something's obviously off with Jeff Jarrett. It's not good. People around him should certainly be worried about the guy.
Yeah, it's hard to confirm some rumors it was kind of funny that there was a little bit of videotape of him in a Canadian indie, and I've got to admit, I watched it, and if he was completely bombed out of his mind, I'd be kind of surprised.
Right, I haven't seen any of it yet, so I don't.
Yeah, like the promoter claimed that he was super drunk, and I'm like, if he's super drunk, he's doing a fairly decent job of keeping things together. He did have one really bad spot, but outside of that, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't look as bad as I thought it was going to. So, you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess if he just needs help, I hope he finds it. that's never anything, like, I've never really been a Jeff Jarrett fan. I mean, I always felt like even in the WWE, he kind of had an oversized ego for where his station was in life. But, you know, you never want to see anyone go through something like that if he is indeed having a hard time.
Shape or form. This one, obviously, there's plenty of people that, I guess part of the story is people saw him either, in no shape or form. I have a match. I will take your word for it that it's from in your long, long experience as a drunkard that you know what.
I mean, it was just kind of funny. The article, he did fail to body slam someone at one point, but the guy was running, he caught him and was trying to slam him, and he could have just lost his balance a little bit. I mean, it could have been caused from being a little bit drunk, but then they talked about him kind of really staggering during the strut, and I was just like, I don't know. I wouldn't call that a stagger. Like, I never felt like he walked in a straight line when he did his strut anyway. So yeah, to say that he's little, not...
That's not the worst of the wrestling squad to begin with. And obviously, Anthem felt they needed to cut ties with him and the Bullet Horse, and the whole Bullet Horse rebranding. Other promoters are starting to get skittish about booking him in the first place, never been the biggest fan either. I mean, as Bruce Mitchell would often say on the Pro Wrestling Tour on the Pro Wrestling Tour, VIP radio shows a decade or so ago, is there such a thing as a Jeff Jarrett fan? Is there such a thing as a Jeff Jarrett fan site online? If I check Twitter right now, would there be any Jeff Jarrett fan accounts or role play accounts? Actually, let's check that out right now.
Well, while you're checking that out, I will start to wrap this thing up and do the usuals here. I'm at DeFrank11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Please rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever happening place you find your podcasts. And hopefully, at this point, Chris has found the information that he wants, and we can get on out of here.
Well, it looks like Jeff Jarrett and I have one thing in common. Neither of us have any fan accounts or roleplay accounts on Twitter.
Well, this honestly is unsurprising. So, with that, grandkids, have a good night.